So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the amazing gift of your Son, Jesus, at Christmas. And we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive him into our lives, today and always. Amen. So, happy Christmas. After all of the shopping, the wrapping, the cooking, maybe some veg still to do, the tinsel and the baubles, the concerts and the plays, the parties and the get-togethers. After all of that, we finally got here. And so once more, we've been listening to that story, listening to the Christmas readings, singing the carols that remind us of the story that we've known probably since we were so high, and the story that we'll carry on hearing, listening, learning from into old age. And it's such a well-known story. I wonder how many of you have been involved in primary school nativities this year. Have we had anyone who's been in a nativity? I think we've got a few over there. And some proud parents and grandparents as well, I'm sure. Quite a few. So when it comes to nativity stories, there seems to be a new version every year. And at Ellie's school this year, we were particularly blessed with a production called The Supersonic Lamb. This extravaganza had parts for no less than 120 children. And I can tell you, it was quite a wait for narrator 44's one line. But I'm glad to tell you she aced it. So whatever version of the story is played out, there are things that never change. Parents waiting with their cameras poised, tissues at the ready, the endless applause, the countless encores, and that reminder, please don't put the photos on Facebook. So this morning, I thought maybe we'd look at some different perspectives on that story. And the first one that's coming up is the gingerbread nativity. Now, I've personally found this one really inspiring. So at my craft and cake club at the university, we had a go. There you go. I took the photo home and showed my daughter. And she had a look at the figure over here on the left, and she said, "Mummy, it's a great snowman." So just a tip, if you ever want to try and make a gingerbread nativity, don't use self-raising flour. That's where it all went wrong. But there are further things that might inspire me for next year. For example, maybe the chocolate nativity is what I should aim for. That could be a good one, couldn't it? And if anyone wants to get me a present from John Lewis next year, I really like the look of their Russian nativity. It's got everything, hasn't it? There you are, right down to baby Jesus who's inside the donkey, who's inside the lamb, who's inside Mary, who's inside Joseph, who's inside the king. The theology is incredible. And then one of my friends put this one up on Facebook. And this is what happens when the Octonauts-obsessed children take over the nativity set. Captain Barnacle is following that star, and no one is going to keep him from the king. For those who want to focus on the way that Jesus came to cleanse us from our sins, you might want to consider the bath time nativity. I particularly like the way that the baby Jesus duck is nestled into the Mummy Mary duck. And finally, we've got a travelling nativity. This one was organised by a hospital chaplaincy team. So he made his way round the different wards through the month of December, getting ever closer to Bethlehem. You can see it was a plastic nativity, so it could be sanitised and kept safe. And when my friend, the hospital chaplain, went along to the special care baby unit, she found the staff there had made their own little incubator. You might be able to see. It says Skiboo. And the baby Jesus has been wrapped up safe and warm in a little plastic box to keep him safe. So there are so many ways that we can engage with this story. Whether as adults who enjoy baking or eating, as children who take the nativity figures and turn them into games, or as those NHS staff who really took their plastic baby Jesus right into their hearts. But although it's a wonderful thing that the Nativity is ever present in our culture, it's important that we don't let the cuteness take away the power of the story. After all, in every version of the story, it's the baby who's in the centre. And not just any baby. This particular baby, the baby born in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago, was special, born in a stable, and yet a king. This birth wasn't announced on Facebook. It was announced by angels. And the first visitors weren't the proud grandparents, but the shepherds summoned from the fields. But beneath the surface of the story, beneath the tidings of comfort and joy, there's also challenge and mess and a threat of violence. Jesus was born into a land occupied by Romans and ruled by King Herod, a puppet king so insecure that he wanted to destroy anybody who would seek to to oppose his power. And birth, as many of us know, is inevitably quite a messy business. When new life comes into the world, there's a cost and a risk as well. The Jewish people had been waiting for so long for their Messiah, for the king who was going to save them. They expected someone who would reign in power and splendor and majesty. And instead, they got the baby born in the stable. The baby who went on to become the man who turned water into wine at a wedding, who healed the sick, and who told the most amazing stories. Stories which had the power to turn the world upside down. The one who they thought would be their king came in the form of the vulnerability of a baby born to parents who weren't married in a town which wasn't their home and who were forced to flee to Egypt before the child was 2 years old. So the familiar story has surprises in it too. As Christians, we believe the birth of Jesus was far more than an ordinary birth. We believe God came to earth to live among us, joining in with the mess and the muddle of our broken world, coming to live for us and die for us so that we might have new life. We believe that God isn't a distant king somewhere up in the sky looking down on the chaos and mess of the world and sighing. We believe that God takes risks. God gets involved. He becomes a part of this world. As we've heard in our reading, born to a very particular person, in a particular town, at a particular moment in history, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, as Luke took great care to tell us, making sure we remember this isn't just a story, but a historical event. And we know that the spirit of that first Christmas is something that's not just found in the nativity scenes and primary school plays, but which is found in surprising places. Which is found in the medics who took the risk of going to Sierra Leone to combat Ebola, for example, or the generosity of those helping out neighbours in Cumbria this Christmas, or the risks taken by those who give hospitality to refugees. 2015 has been a difficult year in many ways, both for us here locally and across the world. When we read the news headlines, we'd be forgiven for thinking these aren't tidings of comfort and joy, but stories of hard and difficult times. So there's a challenge there for all of us. How do we seek to be the ones who bring good news in a world where it sometimes seems that the bad news gets all the headlines? And so it might be time to reread that story, noticing not just the sheep and the shepherds, the angels and the wise men, but also the themes of darkness and light, of power and oppression, and of love. Love which takes the risk and which triumphs over hate. And as we read, we might remember that that baby is God's gift to us this Christmas. God's invitation not to hesitate on the edges of faith, but to plunge in and welcome him into our hearts and lives. And when we do that, when we welcome Jesus into our hearts and lives, we'll be encouraged to live for him too, to be the best people that we can possibly be, giving generously of our time, of our money, and our skills, laughing often, and loving well. And as we seek to live out those values in our communities and become people who encourage one another, then our church and our community too will grow and flourish in a way that reflects the spirit of Christmas, bringing new light and new life into dark and barren places as we seek to become the people God is calling us to be. And so may the comfort and joy of the Christ child be with us all this Christmas. Amen.